guest on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Here's your SportsCenter update. The Nets, who closed as consensus 19-point underdogs, beat the Bucks 119-116 on Tuesday in the largest point spread upset since the Mavericks beat the Supersonics at 19.5-point underdogs in 1993. In the past 30 seasons, teams favored by 19 or more were 49-2 straight up entering Tuesday's game.
Can you guys look up for me what that would have paid on the money line if you had bet Brooklyn last night, money line, to win the game, plus 19.5 over the Bucks?
We'll look it up. No Giannis or Chris Middleton in the second half there. So Roger Penske has reversed course and decided not to allow fans at the Indianapolis 500 later this month. And finally, exercising twice a week can sharpen your memory and prevent dementia, according to research released by the American Academy of Neurology. Just twice a week. Get on it, Dan. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Put it on the poll, please, Guillermo, at Le Batard Show. Do you personally owe Melo an apology? Yes or no? Because there were a lot of people last night enjoying taking a victory lap with Melo, who I did not know were with Melo, because all I heard around Melo was laughter in retirement. And now all of a sudden, skinny Melo is making dagger three-pointers to beat Houston. And everyone is saying, I get to run on the victory lap with skinny Melo. And I don't feel like anybody was running behind him 6 months ago.
No one was. And if they were, you wouldn't be able to see him. But Melo has lost a ton of weight, as you pointed out. He looks shredded. And I'm telling you, I got my eye in the bubble, Dan. They're just a game and a half out of the playoffs. They might have this little series coming up with the Memphis Grizzlies where there is no home court. And you have Melo in good shape and Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum and Nurkic, who is now healthy. Watch out for the Blazers, who, I remind you, went to the Western Conference Finals a year ago.
Serious sports take.
Yes. The Nets were plus 1,300 last night.
Wow.
So you bet $100 on the money line, and you win, what is it? You win.
It was 13-1 odds, essentially, is what.
If you had the Nets and you bet $100, you won $1,300 last night.
Not worth it. I would have not.
I agree.
You need to totally give me more agree than that. That's yes. If that's a dumb bet for me, even if it's a value bet, I'm going to bet $100 on something to happen that hasn't happened in the sports in three decades tonight. And you're only going to give me 13-1. You can go to hell.
Now, if I told you, say hi to Art Briles when you get there. If I told you in this if I told you in the second half, Giannis and Middleton were going to sit. Whoa, that was undeserved. Twice I did it. You're right. Giannis and Middleton were going to sit. Would you think differently about that bet? If I told you before the game, Giannis, Middleton, no second half, perhaps you would put $100 on
what
that.
What just happened to Stugatz? I want to understand why all of a sudden, for the first time during the pandemic, you wanted to roar up and give us Blazer takes. Like, what just happened?
Sports are back.
Is that what happened? Because I can't believe your level of enthusiasm for pointing a sausage finger at me and saying, watch out for the Blazers to make some noise in the playoffs.
And I also gave you a little reminder that they were a team that made it all the way to the Western Conference Finals a year ago.
It wasn't a little reminder. What was the phrase you used? Need I remind you? You were being put out by, look, I need to explain to you how the Blazers are actually much better. So what you're doing, Stugatz, you realize, after months and months of making fun of Melo, you just got in the same line I was making fun of people for getting in the line behind Melo.
Yeah, you're right, and there was no reason to point that out. No one was countering what it is I was saying, but I felt one coming, and that's why I felt the need to point it out. I felt one coming from you, and so I was just reminding you before you had a chance to come back at me. Sports!
It was bad. It was bad. I wish I had the last 4 minutes of my life back as Stugatz decided that he was going to go eight seeds. I want to talk eight seeds. Who's going to get into the playoffs and possibly get dismantled by the Lakers or make some surprising noise? Because skinny Melo is someone I want to follow into the breach.
I made a promise to you a week or two ago, went to the entire show, and keep my eye in the bubble. Dan, this is me keeping my eye in the bubble. Okay? That's what I'm doing.
Well, Billy, what can we tell people? Is there anything that we can tell people about how our movement to nowhere, our marching band to nowhere, is trying to get Stu Gatz, a rabid Heat fan who's actually a Knicks fan, on the virtual scoreboard during an upcoming Heat game? Have we made any progress in that regard? Do we have a target date? When should people be watching games to see if Stu Gatz is in the stands?
I am 85% sure, without betraying any confidences, that it's happening on Monday night. Stu Gatz will be in the bubble for the Pacers and Heat game in the digital crowd.
Whoa.
85%.
Whoa, that's a marching band to 85% of somewhere.
Yes, which is 85% is T.J. Warren's shooting percentage since we went to the bubble. There has not been a better player.
He's unstoppable.
He's unbelievable.
Ever since you said T.J. Warren can give you 45 points a night, all of a sudden T.J. Warren is making threes from everywhere, and he's scoring 30 points every game.
To clarify, the 15% of uncertainty here, because I'm fairly certain in the way that this was done, forms were filled out, people were talked to.
Oh, no, wait
a minute.
I think
we're good. The 15% is on Stu Gatz.
It's Stu Gatz. Oh, no.
The 15% is on Stu Gatz not going or not showing up or not figuring out how to do it or something. That's where my 15% is at.
Did I fill out, when you sent me the form, did I immediately fill out what you asked me to fill out? Am I taking this seriously, at least thus far?
Yes. Okay. Yes. However, we've been down this road before. You filled out the form, which was easy for you to do. It was an email link. You just did what I told you to do. You clicked the game. You put in the thing. You signed the thing. You sent it away. Now, the problem comes Monday evening, when you're going to have to sign in to do this at whatever the time is, that it's 7:30 or it's 7, then all of a sudden there's some sort of lacrosse practice or this or that. So that's where I'm a little concerned.
All right, hold on a second. Please help me with this. Billy, neurotic, scared Billy, the hood ornament on the marching band to nowhere. Nothing ever gets accomplished around here. You are telling me in the audience, you are guaranteeing us by percentage that this is a thing that will happen on Monday if everyone can just count on Stu Gatz to get there. You are guaranteeing that this will happen. You're putting it all on Stu Gatz. If it does not happen, it is only the fault of Stu Gatz betraying our audience, betraying the Heat, betraying the NBA. Stu Gatz now has this pressure on him. You're telling me he's the only reason we would not see this on Monday.
I'm saying the work has been done on the front end. The right people have been notified. They have then notified other people who need to be notified. And I do believe that it is up to Stu Gatz just showing up to make it happen.
All right, can we take bets on this? Because I've got an email going out about an hour before game time on Monday. Guys, I'm trying. I should be back in time. Billy, you might need to sign in and be the fan for the first quarter. I promise, buddy, I'll be there by the second quarter.
Now, it's an 8 o'clock start. It's a little bit late, and I would disappoint all of you, everyone, including Dan, on, you know, as it relates to this, but you are discounting the one person I would never disappoint who is playing in this game, and that person is the best scorer in the NBA.
T.J. Warren.
And his name is T.J. Warren.
All right, you're doing it
for him. Wear a Warren jersey.
You should wear a Warren jersey to enrage Heat fans because you are. You're totally counterfeit. You have no business on this screen. How good are the seats, Billy? If it's 100% chance, how good are Stu Gatz's virtual seats? Are they will he be courtside?
I believe, if things go the way they're supposed to, that we may have him in the VIP
this
seats.
This is unbelievable. Yeah.
I think. Oh, I don't want to
be
your
VIP me is getting up and leaving. I mean, how about that?
It is all about the Benjamins, baby.
This is close to actually happening. And the only thing that's going to screw it up is the thing that's going to screw it up. The thing that always screws it up.
Thanks.
303 Protectant. We've been married a long time, dude. Everybody here knows you. Everyone here will not believe that you are going to be there until we actually see you on television. You showed up late to my wedding and flicked a cigarette in the bushes on your way in wearing sneakers. Like, it is not an act. He is this gross. 303, that was my wedding. That was the happiest day of my life. That was my wedding.
That was also after a shower in the neighbor's driveway.
Yes, the neighbor showed up and accused you of brushing your teeth in his driveway. You guys think we're lying. He showed up with an unkempt shirt and, furthermore, upstaged the bride while flicking a heater into the bushes.
Sorry.
He set a small fire in a wonderful wedding garden because he had to get a few puffs in immediately after brushing his teeth in a driveway. Christ almighty, you're disgusting. So we've got to make fun of Roy here because the end of the radio show yesterday is a fall apart that we have rarely seen around here. I am scared as we lurch into this conversation, possibly with Baron Davis in 45 minutes, that somehow our time with Baron Davis is going to get even worse than it already has, because, Stugat, it's been worse every time, and we are sinking into the sewage, but depending on how you view the show, sometimes worse is better. Sometimes what happens to us is when we are dreadful, it's when you find us funniest. Like we like to say around here, when we're good, but when we're better, because we are bad often and we've gotten good at making fun of when we're terrible. So I will play that sound for you in a moment. But the first thing I wanted to ask you was, did you see the news of Nick Kahn? And I don't know how many people in our audience know that name. Nick Kahn heading from CAA to the WWE all of a sudden, just a weird thing to have happen as the pandemic is going to shift a whole bunch of things.
I'm guessing next to nobody knows who Nick Kahn is. Wrestling fans will now have an idea of who Nick Kahn is. He's one of the most powerful sports agents at the most powerful sports agency, CAA, who represented many big clients, many at ESPN, and now he is left for what he thinks to be greener pastures.
You can make the argument, as some in our business do, that this guy runs ESPN, that basically all of the people that have been hired here and gotten contracts is because this guy makes money for clients. Now, I left CAA a while ago because it was totally soulless. Like, it was just this shiny thing. I really had an experience with my agent that was like Tom Cruise and Jerry Maguire, where he looked around and he was like, ooh. And I'm like, yeah, I don't want to be there either. And Nick Kahn's been trying to replace this radio show at ESPN for the better part of 8 years. Like, he said we were going to fail all along, and he's been trying to replace us with his clients the entire time, and he hasn't been able to do it. But this move to the WWE out of nowhere, when you're representing the power agency, not just in sports, Stugatz, but CAA, like, they do all the shiny things. When I was there, it's like Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt, and it's a real shiny Hollywood thing, and I hated it. Like, I thought it was awful.
Oh, I think from a business standpoint, they're the agency that runs sports, and they're certainly the agency that controls and runs Hollywood. There's no question about it.
So to go from there to Vince McMahon, to be the president and the financial officer of WWE of all places, like that right there is oil that deserves each other. That is like snakeskin that deserves each other right there. Nick Kahn and Vince McMahon together. It's a weird pairing, though. I wonder if the audience has any idea, like, how many people he has placed all over the place in broadcasting at a time, Stugatz, where ESPN, as it's shrinking, realizes, and there's less money for him now at CAA to get from ESPN as the money shrinks during a pandemic, which I don't have any earthly idea why or how he's doing this, but he has placed a lot of people. He's gotten money in this business when everyone's realized all of a sudden at the same time, because ESPN doesn't have any competitors anymore, that they don't actually have to pay anybody. Stephen A. Smith, Scott Van Pelt, and then they can just stop paying people. You know what I mean? And so when you're taking 10% of everybody's amount there, you're making a good amount of money as an agent.
Now, perhaps, and let's be clear here, because Dan and I, we don't know Nick Kahn. He could be a very nice
man. At all. I don't know. Right. I don't know anything about Nick Kahn except what I'm telling you.
In fact, what I would tell you is Tom Rinaldi said, because he represented Tom Rinaldi, that he was not just an agent. He was my friend. I loved Nick Kahn. And that's good enough for me. If Tom Rinaldi says you're a good man and I love Nick Kahn, then Nick Khan is a good man and someone that I love as well, even though he does not represent me and has never made me a penny. And I say that while Dan points out he tried to take money away from me.
Guillermo, put it on the poll. If Tom Rinaldi says you're a good man, are you willing to accept the results that that is indeed a good man? I don't know him either, Stugatz. I just know by reputation. I also know, as I mentioned, that he's been trying to get his clients in this time slot saying we'd fail for a long time as we became America's biggest sports radio show. All right, Stugatz, we've got some serious societal stuff going on. The owner of the Dream in Atlanta, just a real big political opportunist, is basically overseeing a revolt of her players who are wearing T-shirts against their owner. This is not something you see a whole lot in your male sports, publicly against their owner, wearing the shirts of who she's competing against, Kelly Loeffler is competing against in Georgia for a political seat. And this is not something you see very often. And what you see happening in college football right now is not something you see very often. And I want to get into the serious societal sports stuff, Stugatz, but we have some Roy sound here to make fun of. So which is it that I'm supposed to do? Am I supposed to do serious societal sports guy in the new ESPN lineup with Mike Greenberg and Max Kellerman? Or do we just make fun of Roy for being terrible at this yesterday in a way that doesn't have a whole lot of precedent on our show?
Let's make fun of Roy.
Okay. So here's where we are with Roy Bellamy, and here's where we are with Baron Davis. Baron Davis is going to join us, I think, at noon. Where's that poll stand on whether the audience? Baron Davis has been very polarizing, as we have just simply, over three appearances by Baron Davis, we sink more and more into the quicksand, sort of making fun of all of what the interview construct is with an athlete, because he's urinating on everything here. He will not answer a question. He's given us nothing in the way of insight. He is only here to promote himself and his brand, and we have basically desecrated the sports cathedral by allowing him to promote every damn thing in the universe that he's a part of.
Now, the poll right now at Lebatard Show on Twitter, and we're right around 4,000 votes. So 57% of the audience said, yes, Baron Davis should return today at noon.
All right. So we need to figure out a way to clean this up because, as I said, it's been terrible. Now, yesterday, something that happened, and wonderful by being terrible, like we're okay with how terrible it's been. It's been worse each time. And yesterday, Roy Bellamy, as we sat there and tried to do the show and Baron Davis was refusing to talk to white or Latin people and only taking questions from a black person in a situation that was, you know, basically revolutionary. It was revolt, what was happening yesterday on the radio. But you would think that Roy and Baron Davis would have had slightly more chemistry than they did, because Roy was terrible, 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 and then he just fell apart and quit. So here are the three examples of Roy and Baron Davis having absolutely the worst possible chemistry two people in radio broadcasting could ever have. Roy, can you please ask Baron Davis the question to see if we can get a better response?
What's up, my brother? What is your worst investment pitch? Oh, everything's going on all right. What's up, my brother? Do you like pineapples on pizza?
What's up, bro?
Roy, your timing is exceptional. It's exceptional.
What's happening, brother? Would you eat an animal?
Roy, how do you get that wrong three times in a row, Roy?
I have to fill in the pauses. I got to fill in the silence. There was 2 seconds of silence.
How was that possible? Go ahead and ask the question.
Would you eat an animal into extinction?
God, Roy.
To make sure that you survive.
Hey, Roy, say it our way. Hey, Roy, say it our way, man. Say it with your chest, Roy.
All right, Stugatz, I'm telling you, I'm putting it in the Cody Hall of Fame. It is among the worst things that has ever happened around here. 20 years doing this. How is Roy going to defend himself? Is there any defense? How do you feel? We all have our things around here that perpetually make us cringe, right? Me, just sort of I really engulfed. I breached the water and I engulfed Billy the day of his home run call, his big moment. Every time I hear that, I feel great shame when I hear that sound. What is your greatest shame?
It's me asking Ludacris how much his watch is worth. That and the first question of the Chuck Norris interview.
All right, let me write these down here.
I'm still living with those, man, and those happened a long, long time ago, both of them, and they still scar me till this day.
Okay,
I think about them every day.
The Chuck Norris interview. You are going in the Wayback Machine. Oh. That is 15 years old. So we will see if we can find all of that sound and do some reminiscing here. But first, I want to interview Roy because I want to know where Roy's degree of shame is as Chris roars with pink and red laughter. Chris, how are you experiencing what's happening right here? Are you feeling bad for Roy because we've all been there?
Oh, I mean, yes. I'm glad that this is on somebody else for once and not me. I'm enjoying this more than anything. I'm looking at Roy's face, and he doesn't seem to be enjoying it that much. That's what I was laughing at.
I know, but that's always Roy's face. Like, that's just Roy's face. What causes you the greatest shame, Chris, when you rehear it, a moment of yours where you were just so incompetent that upon rehearing it, you want to just back away from the microphone and not have anyone look at you?
I have a Rolodex to choose from, but I think the original Tyron Smith, Tyrod Taylor, that whole rejoin is definitely an embarrassing moment for me. And then the second one is something that I did for you, Dan, when I told you Serge Ibaka's name was like 12 words.
Now, it's the worst when these things happen on a Friday and you have to carry him around the entire weekend. You don't get the next day's show to kind of shake it off and make up for your mistakes. I've been carrying around the Chuck Norris one for nearly a decade. I don't think Roy's carried this around at all, to be honest with you.
Guys, remember when Tony said the best time to take a nap was during the witching hour? That was so dumb, too.
That was a good one.
I disagree, Stugatz. I'm going to carry this around for the rest of the month.
All right.
I mean, yeah, it's because it was that bad, Stugatz. How about you, Billy? Do you have a moment? Is it your Charlie moment where you went home and you couldn't spit out a thought? Do you have one great shame?
I mean, I've learned to kind of just try to black out what happens between 10 and 1 every day because I know it's just going to be negative thoughts my way. So I try to just forget everything that happens. It's the only way I cope with it, that and drinking.
Okay, so we're going to try and get all of those sounds to replay them for you. We're going to put Roy to work to see if he can redeem himself finding all of these sounds so that we can play them in the next segment here, Stugatz, because I want to have them compete against each other. I feel this is going to be one hell of a shameful because that's as bad as anything I've heard anyone around here do. I just put it in the Greg Cody Hall of Fame. Do you know how hard it is to get in there? You have to be unbelievably bad to get in there.
It's the hardest room in sports to get into. It's the hardest club to be a member of, the Greg Cody Hall of Fame. And Roy's first ballot. This happened yesterday. I mean, and you're putting him right into the Cody Hall of Fame.
I think so. We're going to get to all of those sounds in just a second. But I'm going to get in here, my morsel of serious societal stuff.
All right.
I'm going to get it in here. You ready, Stugatz?
I am ready.
So Colorado State, and you've seen what's happening throughout college football here, where UConn is getting out of the game. They're the first ones to bow out, and there's just a great deal of unpleasantness about the idea of putting this literal a value, Stugatz, on human health and human risk, where you're willing to make your student employees who work for you in a way the other students don't, you're literally being so overt that you're sending them into this for the dollars. Like, that's what you'd be doing if you get college football off the ground.
Where you have NFL players who are making tons of dollars saying, no thanks, not this year.
So baseball is going to get to the end of this, even if they have to suit up 18 new Marlins every day because they're going to get to their money. Basketball is going to apparently do it a lot cleaner, although I guess there's a lot of time left to find out how that one could get screwed up. But at least for now, we have pretty good optimism that no one's testing positive and that bubble thing works. But as it relates to college football and some of the things you see happening in college football, where the players are tired of coaches like Kirk Ferentz or their assistants treating them as plantation overlords, where they use even some of the language while standing over them that is abusive. While this is happening, Are you reading some of the details coming out of Colorado State as the Pac-12 comes upside down here because those guys want their money now? If we're going to make it an overt business transaction, the Pac-12 is saying, give us our money then. If you're going to make us go into this as young people and you're going to assign a value to us risking human health in the middle of a pandemic, give us dollars. It's rarely ever laid this bare. And Colorado State, Stugatz, is telling its players reportedly, don't report COVID. Go around some of the protocols. Threatening players reportedly with playing time taken away if they're quarantined. Stugatz, that's Colorado State. They haven't played a meaningful down in their entire existence. That's not Alabama. That's Colorado bleeping state. How poisoned is the injustice in this entire system when Colorado State dehumanizes its body so much that it's like, don't tell people about the sickness. It's real important that we play one down as Colorado State. Like, none of you remember anything about Colorado State or anything they've done across however many years they've played football. It's a nothing nowhere program that exists to only lose to Colorado. And they're sending their bodies in there like that. Stugatz telling them to hide things at the dirty bottom of the ladder in college football. At the bottom of the ladder, and you wonder why the kid at Washington State tape records his coach illegally so that you can hear for yourself this fight over money as black kids get sent out there to not make money and all the white administrators make a ton of money. So Baron Davis, the audience has spoken. Take it up with the audience, okay? Those of you who are objecting loudly, you are a loud minority because we left it up to you on whether or not to have Baron Davis back, and you voted to have him back, a very polarizing interview subject over the last 3 days with us. We are going to try and see if we can get something out of Baron Davis somehow, some way. What, Billy? Why are you making sour faces?
Well, because the plan that we've settled on is Amin will come in and he'll fix everything, which never seems like the answer.
Okay,
to a
problem.
Let's bring in Amin and he'll write the
ship. Well, that was supposed to be a surprise for the audience, but okay, that's fine. We will bring in Amin and the ship will not get righted.
Spoiler alert.
Yes, Amin El-Hassan will be on with us with Baron Davis to see if their chemistry and kinship is any better than Baron's and Roy's.
I've got Baron Davis making fun of Amin El-Hassan's current look.
Okay, let's see what we have here. That's coming in about 10 minutes. Yes, Billy.
He's definitely going to bully Amin, right? Like, do you think, okay, let's ask this in a polite way. Do you think Baron knows who Amin is? And if he does, do you think Baron regards Amin very highly?
Wait a minute. Amin is like a credible. We are vastly less credible to Baron Davis than Amin is. All of us by leaps and bounds. We'll see if Amin can save us. That usually is not. Those are last words. Okay. Those around here. But anyway, let's check in with some of the greatest shames around here that we have ever had. Let's begin with Stugatz having this interaction with Ludacris. Stugatz, it was the middle of the night. Stugatz had way too many gin and tonics at Shaquille O'Neal's birthday party.
How much does the watch cost, Ludacris? How much?
I don't know. I got it for free. That's a good question.
That's an indelicate question, right? You don't ask a woman what she weighs, and you don't ask a hip-hop star what his jewelry's worth, do you?
That's why he let me ask this question.
You really don't.
All right. That is a drunk Stugatz. It causes him shame every time. This right here, what I did to Billy on Marlins opening day, the very first pitch of the season, causes me great shame. All right.
And the windup and the pitch. Oh, God, a home run on the first pitch of the season. Oh, my God.
Welcome, Derek Jeter. And that concludes our Marlins coverage for the season. Oh, mortifying. Just totally mortifying to me. Here is Billy trying to get out some information about Charlie and failing miserably.
Well, Charlie sent, Charlie, as far as I know, so just Charlie's title in my
phone. Are you going to say anything? Here is Roy, Greg Cody Hall of Famer Roy, just from yesterday. Roy, can you please ask Baron Davis the question to see if we can get a better response?
What's up, my brother? What is your worst investment pitch? Oh, everything's going on all right. What's up, my brother? Do you like pineapples on pizza?
What's up, bro?
Roy, your timing's exceptional. It's exceptional.
What's happening, brother? Would you eat an animal?
Roy, how do you get that wrong three times in a row, Roy?
I have to fill in the pauses. I got to fill in the silence. There was 2 seconds of silence.
How was that possible? Go ahead and ask the question.
Would you eat an animal into extinction?
For the love of God, Roy.
Make sure that you survive.
Hey, Roy, say it our way. Hey, Roy, say it our way, man. Say it with your chest, Roy.
Wow. I just can't believe how bad that is. But is it as bad as this that Stu Gotz did not mention in his personal hall of shame? Stu Gotz, you should probably apologize here. We should apologize for what happened last segment. It went off the rails on us. What do you want to say?
I will apologize. You don't need to apologize for anything. I need to apologize. They are my weekend observations. I said what I said. I had no idea, and I apologize to Jonathan Coachman, who has tweeted at us, and he's upset and has every right to be upset. I honestly, and anyone who knows me will understand this and believe this, I honestly, until after the segment ended and we went to commercial break, had no idea that Jonathan Coachman was black.
Coach.
I think I'm let off scot-free now.
It's the single greatest sentence that you have ever spoken. There's never been a greater sentence or more honest.